The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you, just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine. So neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them in a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. So now, that particular reading that you've just been, piece from the Gospel of John you've just been listening to, is one of the most beautiful passages in Scripture, in the Bible, because it says so much. And I want to begin by asking you a question. Which would you prefer? To have a friend who was always right, or to have a friend who was in right relationship with you? And I think I know the answer. Which would you prefer to have? A friend who was always right, or a friend who was connected with you? And I think, again, I know the answer. So why do we not apply that to God? Where did we get the idea? And most of us have the idea that in order for God to love us, we got to be always right. We can never fail. Where did that idea come from? And you know, and I know, people who are always right, they're obnoxious. They're a pain in the, you know, whatever you like to say. Somebody who's always right. And I don't know, maybe you're married to one, but you know what I mean. And then in comes that other line in the Gospel I am the vine and you are the branches. So we got to be connected with Jesus and in right relationship, but that does not mean never failing, never falling flat, being without sin. Not at all. Not at all. And it's very often when we're really down there and we really have made a mess of things, absolute mess of things, that we're closest to the Lord. Because to get it wrong is part of being human, part of human nature. That's so, so true. What's the meaning of that phrase in the gospel? You need to be pruned, pruned. Well, you know yourself, if you have a fruit tree or any kind of a tree, really, you need to kind of cut it back now and again, not let it, you know, get out of hand. So prune, I would see that as the various difficulties and maybe the pains and the setbacks and the other things we go through in life, the problems and the situations that we encounter. Believe me, they are all vitally important in our lives. And most of us don't see it like that. And God never lets anything go to waste. That's a beautiful thing about God. And coming back to being connected, being in right relationship. Well, go back to the scriptures and just look at things Jesus said and did. When or where did Jesus, in the name of God, say, you got to be absolutely perfect to be my disciple? He never said that. But he welcomed sinners, those who were weak, those who were frail. He welcomed them. Never turned them away. And we got to realize that. You're on the way to salvation, and it doesn't begin afterwards, but it begins here when you are connected to the vine, and the vine is love. And in the letter to St. John, the second reading this morning, he's saying, life is about love. It's about love. And one of the things I was sharing at the last Mass, one of the things that brings me great joy, for years and years and years and years, is I look at you, especially you who are married, and I see you as a couple, and when I see you close and connected and in right relationship, I love that, because you don't realize what you do for me when I see that. Two people absolutely committed, connected, and in right relationship. That is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. By your example, wonderful. And one final question for you, and be honest with yourself. How comfortable are you with admitting at times that you're wrong, with saying, I am sorry and I ask you to forgive me? I got that wrong. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful if our politicians now and again said, I got it wrong, huh? I don't think I ever heard any politician saying, I got it wrong. But none of us None of us, no matter who you are, none of us are always right. And to share what you're going back to, the example of being married and being a couple, I remember years and years ago when I was involved in marriage encounter, meeting a lovely couple who shared with me something that they did every day of their lives. And it was this. They said, every evening when we retire for the night, I turn to my wife and I say, honey, if in any way or anything I said or did today I offended you, I am sorry and I ask you to forgive me. And then his wife would turn to him and say the same thing. My love, if in any way by what I've said or done today I offended you, I ask you to forgive me. How beautiful. They had a solid, beautiful relationship. So again, think about that. How comfortable are you with saying, I'm sorry, and I ask you to forgive me? It's a beautiful thing to say, and it's very, very freeing. You feel free. But have you ever noticed when you know you did something wrong and you know it was your fault, but you haven't got the backbone or the courage to admit that, then what happens? You begin lying. That doesn't free you. It ties you up in knots. You begin lying, trying to defend yourself. And we see that again, happening time and time and time again with people who are caught flagrante delicto, almost in the act of doing wrong, but they don't have the courage to simply admit, that was my fault. That's a beautiful sign of character, to be able to admit our faults and our failings. And that's when we really say we are connected to the constant gardener. Because that's a nice way of looking at Jesus, at God. The constant gardener, looking after us all the time and using everything for our benefit.